Race to 5G. 5G phones get cheaper, on August 10th by Sasser Segan in PC Magazine. Affordable 5G phones have started hitting the market, but buyers will find that their performance doesn't feel very different from 4G yet. AT&T pulls into the lead in the race to 5G now that we've fulfilled 2 out of 3 major requirements for a 5G nation. The third one, alas, seems like it's still years away because how the FCC has screwed up airwave auctions in America. Our Race to 5G tracker looks at 3 aspects of the 5G transition. You need enough devices on sale for people to have options. There has to be coverage so people can experience 5G. 5G also needs to perform well enough that there's a reason to choose it over 4G. What I didn't expect when I first set up this series a year and a half ago was that the U.S. carriers would, somehow, figure out how to create 5G coverage and devices without offering any real performance advantages. But that seems to be where we're stuck. Before we get to that, however, let's talk about the good news. AT&T's high score comes from its combination of both high and low band 5G. AT&T has a small number of devices out there showing very high speeds with its 35 5G plus cities, and a large number of devices showing 5G coverage at low speed on its low band network. T-Mobile right now doesn't have enough locations with over 1 gigabits per second speeds. Verizon has the speeds, but it doesn't have a lot of coverage. But none of the carriers can get to the finish line yet because none of them can combine fast speeds and widespread coverage. To win our race, the carriers need more than a few of their customers experiencing game-changing speeds. And we're just not seeing that on any carrier. July and early August saw a flood of new 5G phones and tablets into the market. The Samsung Galaxy Note 5G series and the upcoming Galaxy Z Fold 2 joined the Galaxy S20 series in being the only U.S. phones to offer the full layer cake of 5G networks, low, middle, and high bands. The LG Velvet, Moto Edge, and Samsung A71 5G and Samsung A51 5G each choose between low/middle and high bands. But they also bring 5G to lower prices in some cases, $300 if bought on a payment plan. The Galaxy Tab S7 series puts 5G in Android tablets. Verizon is still the only carrier with a 5G hotspot or a 5G home internet solution. But 5G phones are now widely available a little more quickly than I expected. I thought we'd have to wait for the fall, when Apple's slightly delayed 5G phone is now anticipated to come out in October. Verizon did the best job selling 5G phones in July, according to research firm MScience, in part because Verizon is good at marketing Android phones. 5G coverage is also spreading. AT&T disingenuously announced that its low-band 5G network is now nationwide, meaning it covers more than 200 million out of 350 million people. While that isn't nationwide, it's still quite a feat. T-Mobile is moving fast to fold Sprint's network into its own. The carrier shut down the Sprint brand in early August and now has 5 cities with its promising mid-band 5G network: Chicago, Houston, LA, New York, and Philadelphia. T-Mobile also significantly boosted rural 5G coverage by switching to a standalone low-band network, which has much greater reach than the previous non-standalone network mode. Verizon still has poor coverage in the cities it claims to serve with 5G. but it added some more to the list in past months, San Diego and San Jose. Verizon also closed the first of hopefully many 5G roaming deals with South Korea. 5G international roaming has been moving very slowly, in part because there aren't a lot of internationally compatible 5G phones. Performance lags still. Data from Ookla Speedtest Intelligence shows that U.S. 5G speeds have been on a downward slope since AT&T and T-Mobile poured their energy into narrow, low-band networks to achieve 5G coverage. Note, Ookla is owned by Ziff Davis, BC MagCom's parent company. Those networks cover a lot of people, but they use so little spectrum that they have average speeds under 100 megabits per second. Sometimes 4G networks are faster. Only Verizon continues to deliver a genuinely differentiated 5G experience, with its average 5G speeds in July around 1 gigabit per second, according to Speedtest Intelligence. This makes it very hard for us to argue that you should choose a 5G phone right now on AT&T and T-Mobile, especially one of the mid-range ones. In our review of AT&T's LG Velvet, for example, we found that its chipset makes it slower on 5G than a flagship phone is on 4G. The confusion will likely get worse when Verizon launches its low-band nationwide 5G later this year, and will only get better when the carriers have new dedicated airways for 5G after an auction coming this December. The C-band auction will make 280 MHz of spectrum available, much of which is likely to get snapped up by AT&T and Verizon. By comparison, AT&T is currently using 5 MHz channels for 5G in many areas right now. Our nationwide numbers don't show much effect from T-Mobile's new mid-band 5G cities. While I'm hoping we'll see speeds more like 300 to 400 megabits per second. We currently have drivers on the road completing a 25-city run for our fastest mobile networks project, where we'll get much more detailed city-level data on the 5G performance situation. Meanwhile, in Canada, our fastest mobile networks drive test in the U.S. will be followed by Fastest Mobile Networks Canada, where we will test 4G and 5G networks this September and October. All three major Canadian carriers currently have 5G networks in a few large cities using 4G-sized channels. Bell recently said it intends to launch 5G in 28 cities by the end of this year, and currently where Bell goes, TELUS goes as well. But since this is essentially reused 4G channels, we still don't anticipate world-changing 5G speeds. Canada is also waiting for a big 5G auction, but it'll have to wait even longer than the U.S. The 3.5 GHz auction there has been postponed to June of 2021.